is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecovered.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO. It's 5 p.m. on Friday. And I'm here with James French, right? James French. And I say hi.
Hello. Glory.
And Pastor Tom. Hi, Pastor Tom.
Hi, Luann. So how you doing?
I'm so good. So good to have you on. I know we missed last month, so we were eagerly awaiting and for this. So thanks for coming. So, and you're planning on coming again this month, so that's really good. So we can talk more about, you know, kingdom mindset. And today we're going to be talking about our kingdom purpose, what God's plan and purpose is for our lives. Why are we here? And I wanted to start in Genesis just to get it flowing. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." 28 says, "And then God blessed them, and God said to them," and them is us, "be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So I wanted to start there because God clearly gives us, as he created us, Adam and Eve, he gave them a purpose and an identity. And I know, Pastor Tom, we've been talking about this a lot in our, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like, you know, our mindsets in church, in Treasure Coast Victory Center. So I've been really studying a lot about my identity, my purpose, well, God's purpose for me, but my identity in Christ and destiny, you know, the position I have and his plan and will. It's really God's will. But if my heart lines up with his heart, if I seek God's heart, I will know, I will find my identity in him and then the purpose. So with that, Pastor Tom, what would you like to talk about in this?
Well, I'd like to go back, I think, in my earlier life when I got born again and stuff. And when I was thinking the other day, I was thinking that everybody on the planet Earth right now, it doesn't matter where you live or what you're doing, they all want the same thing. They just want to have a good life. Mm-hmm. They want to have money. They want to have a place to live. They want to fulfill the purpose that they were here. No matter where you're at or who you are, everybody's basically the same in that area. And there's some things I did when I first got born again and some things I pursued that seemed to be the wrong things to do. And many times I can help other people by going back over the dumb things that I did or the wrong directions that I took. And maybe I can help other people who are there not to spend 10 years to do it. Maybe they can get out of it in 2 months instead. So that's what I was thinking today. I got saved back in 1985. And at that time, basically, I came out of a very religious church. And basically, when I got saved, I was told by everybody, "Congratulations, you're going to heaven now." Mm-hmm. "Hallelujah, you're going to heaven now. Rejoice because you are gone to heaven now. So I went to a church, and the first thing they preached on was I was gone to heaven now, which really got me all excited because I had heard that over 14 times in the last week, you know. And basically they just talked about things like that and about now you need to go to church to please God. You basically need to do your best to please God. You need to make sure you don't lose what you've already got. You want to keep God happy. You want to do what everybody else does. You got to make a big prayer list and find out what you want God to do. You know, God, my mortgage needs money, and my kids need money, and I need money, and my wife definitely needs money. So I had a big, long prayer list like everybody else, and I was studying the prayer list, and I was reading it, and I was doing what everybody else was doing. And I talked to some of the other people who were Christians longer than me, and I'd just say, you know, how's this Christianity stuff gone for you? And they'd say, oh, well, it's really good. You know, it's good to be born again. But then we'd become friends, and I'd go over to their house, and I'd find out that they were lying because their life was a mess, you know. But when you come to church, it seems like your life gets so much better when you talk to other Christians, how wonderful everything is and everything else. So basically, I was getting a little bit nervous because my prayers weren't really being answered financially any other way. I mean, I was getting up every morning. I was on the prayer list. I was doing exactly what I was doing. I was confessing, and I was tearing down the walls of heaven to get to God, you know, to get him to do something. And after a while of not being successful at all, even though I was born again and going to heaven, basically at that time, I even started to question, did God really even love me? Mm-hmm. I mean, God's in control of everything, I was taught. He's in control of everything on the earth. Mm-hmm. He wants the best for me. He wants to do everything for me. Well, here I am for 5, 6, 7 years getting up every morning at 5 o'clock, and I'm going through this prayer list, and I'm praying, and I'm not getting nothing, and I'm just as broke as I was before, and I'm going to work every day with the same thing, and I come home at night, and I eat, and I go to bed, and I get up, and I go to work, and I go home, and life started getting really, really monotonous for me at that time, and I was starting to wonder, is this even worth it, you know? I guess it's worth it because someday, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. So I would go to some of the leaders of the church, and I'd say, what's the problem here? You know, I've been in this church for 6 years. First, I wanted to blame the church, and after that, I wanted to blame God. And then I wanted to blame everybody else but me, of course, because it wasn't working. And the leaders would say, oh, you just don't quite have enough faith yet. You know, read a little more, pray a little more, confess a little more. Everything will work for you. Just hang in there. You know, God moves in mysterious ways, and you never really know what he wants to do. And he knows what's best for you. So if you're still broke 6 years later, he knows it's best that you're broke right now for some reason. And that just didn't seem to answer the question in my heart and in my mind of what was going on. Because, you know, when I got born again, I thought this was supposed to turn into some utopia where everything was great and God took care of everything and he had plenty of money and everything was going on. So, and then I started reading the Bible, and I got to a place in one of the Gospels where it said that the kingdom of God was like a banquet. Mm. And I said, well, wow, if I'm supposed to be at a banquet right now, that sounds like heaven's really great. You know, heaven's wonderful. Heaven's marvelous. So I can't wait to get to heaven because there's a banquet up there for me when I get there in the kingdom of God. So I started getting excited about heaven again. But the problem was I wasn't in heaven, and I had to live in the rotten here and now. Right. And the rotten here and now wasn't working out because I wasn't old enough to die yet and get there. So basically, I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on, what was doing. I mean, I was born again. I was going to heaven. And then one day I was reading John chapter 17.
Man.
And Jesus is praying for us, and he says, now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have their joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world then has hated them, because they're not of the world, even if I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should not take them out of the world, but thou should keep them in the world and free from the evil. Mm. And I thought, well, my God, my whole purpose has been to get to heaven, and Jesus himself is praying against it. I'm in a world of hurt right now.
Right.
I want to go to heaven. Jesus is praying me out of heaven. That's where I got to go. That's my purpose for going. I'm trying to figure it out, and I really started getting confused, you know, about everything right then because he don't even want me in heaven. Even if I go up there today, he's going to say, I wanted you down on earth. That's what I prayed to do. That's what you were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what to do. You go to the leaders, and the leaders always, don't worry. You know, it'll all work out. Mm-hmm. And he's got it under control, and everything's going very well, and everything's going good. But everything wasn't going very well, and it wasn't going good. So then finally I got to Revelations chapter 1,
Amen.
And that took me a while. In Revelations chapter 1, it said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made me a king and a priest unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And as I read that verse, I thought, well, why would God make me a king and make me a king over the earth if he was in control of everything? what would be the point of him making me a king on the earth if he's in control of everything? Because I don't know if I'm supposed to fight against him or outrule him or do whatever. And I know from, I don't know a lot about kingdoms, but I know usually in a kingdom, there's only one king. So the king on earth, according to this, either has to be me or him. And one of us got to make up our mind which one it's going to be. Well, here it said I was king of the earth. He made us kings of the earth. And nobody ever preached this to me. You know, they told me he washed my sins and he did all this stuff. But he never said he made us a king and a priest.
Right.
So at that time, my whole thought life started shifting to a place to where I just wasn't here. And whatever happened, happened. Mm-hmm. And whatever God decided to do, he did. I found out that I was a king. And as a king, I was in a position to rule. And I was in a position to rule, not in heaven, of course, that's where he's at, but here on the earth, according Amen. To the scripture that it gave me. So I thought, my goodness sakes, if I'm here to rule, then maybe some of the stuff that's happening in my life is not his fault. Maybe it's my fault because I'm allowing things in my life that I basically can keep out of my life. So I went to my prayer list and eliminated half of that, asking him Amen. To do things that I had authority to do in my own life to begin with. And then, of course, I went to the scripture that you just read,
right.
where he created mankind. Now, when God created mankind in Genesis chapter 1, he created all man.
Mm-hmm.
When he spoke to Adam, he created every single human being because every Praise single Lord. Human being was in Adam at the
Amen.
Time. God only made one person, one man, and everybody else has come out of the inside of him. So he's when he was speaking to Adam and said, I give you dominion on the earth to rule and to reign. Back in Genesis 1, I thought, well, gosh, maybe my purpose isn't just going to heaven that Jesus is praying me out of. Maybe it's to have dominion here on the earth and to rule and reign because that's why I was created.
Mm.
So basically, it changed my whole way of thinking. It changed my thinking as far as the kingdom of God goes because I was always told that the kingdom of God is when you get to heaven. And when I got to heaven, everything was going to be great. But then that darn Jesus showed up again in the Bible and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is it on hand right now. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. So if the kingdom of God was at hand then, it's certainly at hand now 2,000 later. So now I knew that my banquet wasn't going to be in heaven, but there's actually a banquet for me right here on Praise the Lord. Earth that I have not been taken advantage of because mm-hmm. of ignorance. And I'm telling you right now, if you're struggling out there, your problem is not the devil.
Nope.
It's not even sin. It's ignorance. Of who you are and what you can do and what God has done for you. So basically, I started studying about kingship and I've started studying the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
which totally changes your whole attitude, your yeah. whole idea, your whole about the whole thing in the mm-hmm. kingdom of God and actually gives you a purpose.
Amen. Amen. And you know, yesterday you said something to me. Was it yesterday? No, Wednesday night. You said you have sometimes you have to start at the end to get to the beginning. And I. Of course, that rang with me, you know, and that's exactly what happened. You got to Revelation, then you had to realize, let me go to the beginning, what God says, because he gives you the ending, and then you need to go back to the beginning. But sometimes starting at the end is the right place to start, you know, knowing who you are, why you're here. And that's also, it says it is better at the end of a thing than at the beginning, because then once you understood that part, kings and priests, you know, I'm blessed I didn't know, nobody ever spoke Jesus to me about being Lord and Savior or anything like that in my life. But as soon as I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I went right into kingdom mentality, you know, mindset. So I never got, you know, I just was lost for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I came in and thank God, you know, my mind was automatically into like even the scripture you were talking about, I think it was this Sunday about being a priest, a king and priest, king of kings, lord of lord. And the position of a king here is our spiritual government position here. If I understand the decrees of my king, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit is with me so that I can fulfill his decrees, his moral values, his laws, his promises here on earth. I don't have to die to get them. I have them already here. And then being a priest is that spiritual practice to preach to others and bring others into the kingdom. So he's put us in two positions. If I start to understand that, and this is for anybody listening, then knowing your identity gives you the purpose, you know, and that's the whole key. He wants us to, because that's what Adam lost. He lost his identity because the devil who lost his identity as Lucifer into Satan, manipulated Adam and Eve to lose theirs because of jealousy, pride, all that. And because he was able to do that, we lost our position with God. And that's the blessing. This, in the garden, he gave us every spiritual blessing. The Holy Spirit was with us, in us, with God. And then we lost that ability to be in his presence. But we got it back once you get born again. That's why Jesus said, told Nicodemus, that's the key to the whole thing. You have to be born again. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, it sort of confuses your mind sometimes when you read the Bible and you've got a different way of thinking. But when you come to the Bible and you run into something that counters your thinking, you gotta search it out. Just don't go over it. Figure out what it's saying and how it's saying and what it means. And you may have to change the way that you're thinking, and you may have to believe it. And everybody who's born again, and there's a couple things that I was taught in the church that really hurt me. One was that my purpose was to go to heaven because once I got born again, really my purpose was fulfilled. And now for the rest of my life, I don't know what I'm supposed to do really down here. I guess make enough money to support my family and have a car and a job and all that stuff. And the second one was that God is in control of everything. Mm. Well, if God is in control of everything here on the earth, that kills my purpose for being here that he created me for to do. He created me to be in control of the earth. Amen. Well, if God's in control, then it eliminates Genesis 1:26 and eliminates my purpose for being here other than to go to heaven someday. Mm-hmm. And there's more to it than just going to heaven, because God has blessed us in so many areas of our life that we just don't understand what he's done for us. And in Psalm 8, it says the same thing basically as Genesis 1. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? These were angels probably questioning why God was so good to mankind and what the heck was going on. It said, thou madest to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and he has put all thing under mankind's feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So that was the second one that I saw that basically told me I had dominion here on the earth. Well, that helped me to understand that God really did love me yet. Yeah. Thank goodness. He wasn't holding out on me. He wasn't keeping things from me. And second of all, basically, it got me into a place where I could start standing against things that were not of God. And of course, in order to figure out what's what, you're going to have to read the Bible and find out what comes from God and what comes from the enemy. But it gave me the opportunity to start ruling in my life.
Amen.
And many people out there don't know this. And if you're in the church and you don't know that you have dominion over the earth, basically you'll use that dominion that God has placed on the inside of each and every one of us the wrong way. You'll start ruling over. That's why marriages have a problem now.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because man wants to rule over something. If he ain't ruling over the earth and for God, then he's going to rule over that wife. And the wife's the same way. If I ain't ruling, I'm going to teach that husband, you know, how he's doing and what he's doing. And then your kids grew up with that rebellion on the inside, basically, because that dominion spirit is on the inside of them. It's in our hearts. We feel like we got to be dominating. We got to be ruling. So if a child comes up, then basically they want to dominate their parents at a very young age. And that's why as parents, we have to take care of that rebellious spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that sometime is to use the paddle of love that we have, praise God, to drive that spirit far from them and let them understand. So even though you have authority, part of our life is learning to submit to the authority who have authority over us of others. And my authority is not over my wife. It's really over my kids, but it's not. It's over me first.
Mm-hmm.
I need to learn to control what's in my life first through the dominion that I have, receive what I can, don't receive what I don't need to do. And by that, I can grow into a place to help others. But if you don't use the dominion for yourself, you're going to use it.
Right.
And you're going to use it for somebody or somewhere that's manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's whatever you can do to control somebody else to fulfill that thing. But it's not fulfilling anyway, because it doesn't cause peace and joy. It causes strife and everything else in your life. So,
amen. And, you know, when you were talking about God's in control of everything, well, you know, believing that would put God in a favoritism position, because some people are worse off than others. So if it, you know, and the reality or the revelation that he's sovereign, but he's not in control over, you know, my heart, unless I give him control of the reign over my heart, unless I put him as the priority of my heart, you know, but I have that choice. He doesn't force me to do it. And I thinking that he's in control, then I can blame God, because now you're not giving me what I want. Why ain't I prosperous like that person or in peace like that person?
Mm-hmm.
But understanding that he's sovereign and his word is the same for everybody gives me an accountability and a responsibility. And that's the whole point, It's to become and confess, you know, like that's why we do. Oh, I was handling that wrong. And you get that freedom in that when you do. So important, you know.
And then we get off into religion.
Yep.
Because my goodness sakes, I go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and this couple come to church once every month, and they're getting blessed by God. Well, can't God see what's going on here? This is ridiculous. God should be blessing my socks off rather than blessing them. This person gets healed who comes to church for the first time, and you don't. Because it takes you back into to basically works that you're trying to do to get God to do things, not understanding that when you entered the kingdom of God, you were not only given authority, but you were given a lot of stuff that God gave you when you entered the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Is heaven important? Yes. But it is one of the benefits of the kingdom of God. It is not our purpose to get there. And you just proved that by Jesus praying to keep us here. Now, why would Jesus, and I mean, if my purpose was to get to heaven, then when I got born again, he might as well killed me and got me out of here.
Right.
I already fulfilled my purpose.
Right.
What else am I doing down here?
Mm-hmm.
Wasting God's time, wasting my time, other people's time? So that's not it. So Jesus prayed we stay here because with that authority you've got, you have a purpose here on the earth. And your number one purpose is, of course, you've been given authority because that's what Genesis chapter 1 was all about when he gave it to mankind. So if you're going to church, that's wonderful. If you praise and worship, great. If you clap and dance and sing, hallelujah, good for you. But if you're not using your authority, you're not fulfilling the purpose that you were put here to do. And success basically is not doing anything and being successful. It's doing what you were created to do,
That
makes you successful.
Right.
So you can have $1 million. You can be doing great. You can be at 14 cars and 13 boats and 2 houses. But if you're still not doing what God put you here to do, in God's eyes, you're unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm.
In man's eyes, you're really successful.
Right.
And everybody wants to be like you. But it's different between what God sees as successful and what man sees as successful.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, just like in the garden when Adam lost his identity in Christ, that Satan did it to Jesus. When Jesus got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he tried to question his authority. You know, that's his goal, is to take that away from us, to take, did God really say you're holy? Does God really say you're prosperous? You know, he wants to question, he wants us to question. He already knows that God is, you know, the whole idea is to keep us from knowing who God is and the power that we have in Christ, knowing our position in Christ. You know, if we did know all the promises, it's when I question the promises is I'm questioning my identity, because God gave me and everyone who's created in his, we're all created. He gave every man authority, but not every man knows that, because every man doesn't come into the kingdom, doesn't accept their calling from God. You know, it's almost like Lucifer's name changed from beautiful light to darkness to Satan, you know, and it's the same thing. We started in the negative, and when we get called and say yes to God, he brings us into the beauty of our name, the beautiful part of our name. Because I know me as Luann, the old man Luann was woo. Today I'm Luann, I'm holy, righteous, you know, precious in his eyes. And so he does, he changes us. He changes us. It's our heart, because if we spend time, you know, it's like even David, a man after God's heart, that's dwelling, sitting with him, spending time. We don't always, he likes when we just sit quietly with him. We don't have to ask him. We don't have to hear anything. He just wants to spend time with us, you know, just knowing that he's present with us, you know, and then we can hear him.
In the kingdom, basically, it eliminates religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get in trouble, because a lot of people are in religion and they don't want to hear it. So you go around telling them that you're righteous and you're holy and you're blessed. You're going to run into trouble in the church, not just outside the church. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is, according to religion, religion emphasizes on your works and your self-works to become something. And the kingdom relies on what Jesus did for you to be something.
Yes.
And they're two separate things. So if I come to a place where I believe I'm righteous, I now have just knocked out every basis for religion in my life because I'm already there, and going to church more isn't going to help me become more righteous because I'm already righteous. So basically it kills religion, and then religious people get mad at you because they've been trying to get holy and righteous for 35 years and haven't arrived yet, but they think they're gaining. But when you start receiving what the kingdom supplied for you in your identity, and then you start speaking it out your mouth and telling other people. But the thing is, you cannot live in anything you don't believe you have.
That's right.
So if you're still trying to become righteous after 35 years, you're never going to live in righteousness until you become righteous. And how are you going to know when you become righteous? Because you're not going to know when you become righteous because you're still trying to become righteous, right. And you might have made a sin yesterday or whatever. But in the kingdom of God, once you understand you're righteous, now you can start walking in that righteousness, right. Taking advantage of that righteousness. And when you believe it, you'll speak that way.
That's right.
And when you start speaking according to kingdom rather than according to religion, it definitely causes a problem in people's lives.
Amen.
Sure.
It's an attitude adjustment. Go ahead, James.
And anyone listening the first time, just for scripture, Romans 5 says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. And that's right standing with God.
Right. Mm-hmm. So by Adam, we all fell.
Yeah,
we all became rebellious. And then Jesus came to give us.
Yeah, just people, because there's people listening. They're probably like, what is he talking about? We're not righteous.
Yeah. And I remember when I first got born again, I didn't know what any of this was. So I went to go see a therapist because I thought I was
Did they
great.
Help you out? Did they? Take
well,
care
I didn't
you?
Know she was a Christian. So I started telling her, I hear God. She was like, what do you mean you hear God? Because she's dealing with crazy people.
She wanted to know if you were Holy Ghost or crazy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't even know what a Christian was. But I she said, oh my, you know, she said, you've been chosen. I said, for what? I didn't know what a Christian was. She happened to be a Christian. So God assigned that whole thing because of course, me and my background, he knew how to speak my language. He brought me, cause I was a therapist, to someone that I would trust would be able to tell me what was wrong with me. And she goes, what are you afraid of? And the first thing I said, Pastor, was they're going to think I'm holy. My family, like they're going to think I think I'm holy. Mm-hmm. Because it was such a like, how can I feel this way? How can I think this way? Because God was saying these things in my heart. When I say God was saying them, it was like a download in my heart by reading the word. Like I was hearing it in my heart, you know, and it started to penetrate. So I was believing it. And then I felt guilty. I was like, oh my God, I can't. That's when the enemy comes in and said, no. Your family will think, really, they'll lock you up.
Oh, yeah.
You could think you're God. So when I said that, she goes, but you are. And thank God she was that person because
you
I would have.
Got down a wrong, a bad
oh
road.
My gosh. I could have went down.
99% of them out there.
Right? So, I mean, she said, because you are holy. I'm like, what do you mean I'm holy? You know? Mm-hmm. So, but yes, I totally identify with that because that was one of my things. Like people are going to think, I think I'm better than them. I think I'm God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? God's in us. And it's not that I am God, but I'm giving God the ability to work through me, through his Holy Spirit, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm it's like we say die to the flesh. What we're saying is give your whole body to God, your mind, your will, your thoughts. That's what it means. You know, it's like I don't have desires to do those things over serving him. That's what it means. You know what I mean? It's like I don't, the flesh is not that important to me. It's more important to fulfill his plan and purpose for my time here right now. And that's really key because this is all we got is this time, you know? And you always say, Pastor, the richest place in the world is a cemetery.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's where all the gifts are that didn't come out. That's where all the books that weren't written are there and everything is there. So, yeah. And when you start to understand this, you change your priorities.
Yes.
I think that's one of the biggest things in my life that I did. First of all, I went back to my prayer list and tore it up.
Amen.
Because everything I was praying was a waste of time for like 7-8 years because I found in Matthew where Jesus comes and says, why do you worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, where you shall live? And I said, I've been worried on that for 6 years. You haven't done a thing for it, for God's sakes. Where have you been all this time? I could have wrote that chapter. And basically, as you continue to read, it just says all you've got to do is it's very simple. Seek first
Amen.
God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, and your right standing in that kingdom, your right relationship, and all these things that I was praying for, mad at God for not giving me, would be added unto me. So I had to change my plans to God's plans, my will to God's will, God's purpose to his purpose. And then it even gave me, you know, instead of being going to work grumbly and here I go again. Yeah, I'm going to heaven when I die, but here I go to work again. All at once, work became a ministry
Amen.
For me. Now I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to spread the kingdom of God. I'm walking in there. I've got an opportunity today. I'm going to do it. It changed everything in my life as far as work. Mm-hmm. Work became a ministry rather than a drudging thing to make money. I didn't matter how much money I made because I knew he was going to take care of all my needs according to his riches and glory, like he'd promised to do if I just lined up my priority with it. So it wasn't really for years that God didn't love me, and it's not that God doesn't love you. It's that maybe your priorities are in the wrong Amen. Place. Maybe your priorities are on worldly things that you continually go after rather than what God wants you to do, which is your purpose down here. And if you're not know that you have the dominion and you're not exercising it, you are going to fill yourself with something else other than that kingdom of God and mm-hmm. the dominion. And that's why there's sexual problems. That's why right. there's drugs. That's why there's alcohol. That's why there's all these things out there. Because you're going to try to fill it with worldly things, and worldly things are good for about 10 minutes.
Right.
And then they turn into a major disaster. Mm-hmm. So once you start filling it with the kingdom of God and your purpose, all those things, you won't have to fight against those mm-hmm. things anymore because you filled that emptiness that was already on the inside of you.
Amen. It is. It's an attitude adjustment. We say that, you know, like, people, it's an attitude, just like make a gratitude list, like start thinking of the positives of, you know, you can turn your day around in one second, every second by second, you know, when you have negative thoughts, turn them to positive. Look at look at the bright side, the light side of what your situation is, you know, and you will, it's an attitude adjustment, because if you don't, you know, the transformation happens in the renewing of the mind. You have to change your thinking. Everything, you know, God turned the world upside down. I always say it's really he turned us right side up. Mm-hmm. I was living upside down. So he's got my, you know, my head in the right place now, because it's Christ-centered, you know, and it's Christ-centered in the heart. And the enemy is a legalist. He's here to find an opportunity. Once you have a doubt, or, you know, a shame or guilt, he's going to come in and he's going to try to infiltrate his kingdom in your space. And where's the space? Our minds, in our head, you know, and we want to expand the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So if what's coming out of our mouth is not love, peace, joy, other people aren't going to want to have a piece of that kingdom, a piece of your property. You know, they're not going to want to buy into it. So we have to really watch our gates and what we're saying. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, listen, there's situations that happened to me this week. I had to be diligent and guard my heart. You know, things happen. But I have to, it's my responsibility, each independent person. And that's the gift of free will that we get. So nobody, you know, I always thought, I had free will, but I let everything control me. I let drugs control me. I thought I had control over them. But, mm-hmm. You know, I remember the first time I smoked a cigarette. I thought I could do this whenever I felt. I felt so liberated. It had me as a prisoner until, thank God, you know, for many, many years I haven't smoked. But the point is, I started out saying, it gave me freedom, a false sense of freedom, ease, and comfort. And then, you know, and then it starts to really consume your life. It consumes you. And so the more you think you have control over something, that's why you have to let God, you have to follow his way. You have to let him show you which way to go. And you shouldn't use outside, you were talking about natural things. I can't deal with the spiritual empty space in my heart with a natural substance or person, place, or thing. Mm-hmm. It won't work. It's temporary.
And the world basically is completely different, like you said, upside down with this stuff. I mean, you're sitting there watching commercials as a young person, and some guy drives up in a $200,000 car drinking mm-hmm. a beer, and all the chicks are coming around him and everything else. But, you know, I did that for years, but they never showed me in the bathroom in the morning throwing up during that commercial because it wouldn't work for them. See, they got to make it glamorous. They got to make it look good. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. But they don't show you what really happens in that stuff. So you've got to get your information from something that's spiritual.
That's right.
If you're going to live spiritual. And, of course, that's the Bible and the Word of God here. And let me just read Matthew 18:18 here. Jesus was talking again. He says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And I could have swore that scripture read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever God binds on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever God looses on earth." Right. I must have read it 100 times out of my old mindset, and I'm sure God was doing the binding and loosing. And then I found another translation that says, "Whatever you allow on earth, God will allow in heaven, and whatever you disallow on earth." Well, now that puts responsibility on me of what I'm allowing in my life and what I'm disallowing in my life. So basically, I've got authority over anger that I was very good at one time.
Right.
What do you do when something goes wrong? You get angry. It doesn't solve anything, but that's the way we do it. That's the way we learn to do it. That's what we do. So we get mad about it. We get angry. We throw a fit. We scream and holler thinking that we're doing something. And afterwards, you feel terrible about the thing.
Right.
Well, I found out that I had dominion over that anger in my life, and I didn't have to get angry and waste my time over everything that basically upset me. My feelings, worry, had to go out of my life. Right. Worry never did me any good at all, but everybody worries. Everybody tells everybody their worries, thinking that they're going to really feel bad because you're worrying. Let me tell you, they don't care anyway. Mm-hmm. They got their own worries they're dealing with. They may pat you on the back or send you flowers or something, but that's not it. And Jesus told us not to worry. Mm-hmm. He told us not to do all these things. Be angry, but sin not. In other words, angry about the right things, basically. And fear is the same way. I had to get fear out of my life. Right. I had to recognize fear. I had to get it out. Why? Because it's a spirit of fear in my life. But I would pray for God to get it out of my life. I would pray to God that I could quit worrying. And God can't do that for us. He does not have dominion down here. He has dominion in heaven. That is his domain. That is his territory. And we are kings. We've got to have a territory in order to be a king and have a kingdom too. And our territory is this earth realm down here. So I wanted to start with myself, using my dominion and straightening myself out and then helping others to do that. Now, the main thing you may want to do, first of all, is to straighten everybody else out first. See, you've just become the Holy Ghost overnight, and you're going to straighten out the entire world before you straighten yourself out. It doesn't work that way.
No.
And if you say something and tell somebody to do something and you're doing it, it ain't going to work anyway because they already know you're a hypocrite to begin with. So I had to start using my dominion in my own life.
Amen.
And you see what other people do wrong, but you're not going to use dominion to deal with them. You're going to use it to deal with yourself.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's so true. But, you know, you were saying about reading a scripture, but, you know, our minds want to read it the way it knows it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to keep, you know, you could read it over and over again, get something new, because you get, your eyes get more and more, your heart, the heart of the eyes of your heart get wider and wider and, you know, can see more clearly every time you read the word. Mm-hmm. But I can even sometimes, you know, like sometimes I skim over something because I already read that 1,000 times. And then I go back and I'm like, wait a minute. I almost missed that because I thought I knew because I read that scripture 500-600 times. And then I go back and I'm like, wow, I didn't never notice that part. Like even today, reading, you know, just every spiritual blessing, getting the Holy Spirit, you know, and when he created man, he gave us every spiritual blessing and he blessed them. That means he gave us the Holy Spirit. Everything we need was inside of us. And then it was taking. Well, and what is the spiritual blessings? It's sonship. It's all these things that we need to know. And if we can stand on those spiritual blessings and live in those spiritual blessings, then we will make, we'll live a prosperous life. You know, and not prosperous. I mean, it will be prosperous because God will, he has more resources than the world. But it's not always what everybody else thinks is prosperous. You know, that's the other thing. We have to get our minds off of what the world thinks is prosperous, what the world thinks is perfect and all these things. Because spiritual perfection is spiritual maturity. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he wants to be us our most excellent way in our spiritual walk with him, in our growth. A mature spiritual person is a perfect person in his eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying earlier. It's not always what we were groomed up to believe. You know, it's actually nothing that I've ever learned. Everything is new.
Everything is
everything.
New. Everything.
You know, it's like, I can't take one thing, you know, because even in the good things when I was younger, they were still very self-motivated. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so even though they were in the right, in a good direction, they weren't for the right reasons.
Yep, the right motivation.
You know, right? So you're not alone. Who's ever listening?
Yeah. And I mean, this is a natural growth. You grow up, and that's why you look at a scripture and it doesn't mean anything to you. And you read it 2 weeks later and all at once it jumps off the page and slaps you right upside the head because basically you have grown in the things of God. And by growing in the things of God, you can now see. It's like he slowly peels things away so that you grow a little bit at a time and understand what's going on. But it's the word of God is the food that you need in order to continue to grow. So as you read the Bible, and I was reading the Bible one day, I came to Romans chapter 6, and it said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. And I thought, well, everybody's got to sin sometime. Yeah. Why is that? And these religious things that you learn will come up in you, just like the Spirit of God. And all at once, well, everybody's got to sin sometimes. That's just the way it is. But what does the Word say? Sin shall not have dominion. I know it says sin shall not have dominion over you, but I want you to know everybody sins sometime. Well, I had to make up my mind. And one thing about the word dominion, it also means your right to choose.
Amen.
So I could either choose to have dominion over that and say, I don't sin anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Or I could just say, well, that scripture must mean something else. Mm-hmm. We better get the Hebrew and the Greek and everything else and figure out how I can get around this scripture because it's something there. But there it was right in front of me. So you don't have to sin. Believe it or not, you don't have to sin. And sin most of the time to me was, you know, drinking, smoking, cussing, getting mad, lying. But another thing it talks about, it's a legal thing, so it's righteousness. It's right alignment with God. It's not just sinning. In other words, I cannot be sinning but still be thinking stupid according to the kingdom of God, and I'm still out of alignment with God. I'm not in right alignment with him. So I had to start believing the way his thoughts and his ways and his what he thinks about things. And that's what right alignment really becomes. And the more you think more in right alignment with him, the more you stop sinning, because when you think like him, you don't sin anymore.
You don't want to.
So it's that thought life change that takes place in your life, and it's got to be done. And it, once again, it's called a transformation that takes place. But you don't have to be transformed. You can just get saved and go live your life and let the devil beat you up and let life beat you up. And when you die, you'll go to the golden streets up there and everything will be fine. But God wants you to do something down here. That's why he gave you dominion. So you have a purpose. And without a purpose, your life is not very exciting. It's not very good. There's no reason for it. But God gave everybody the same purpose, and that was to have dominion and come into rulership here on the earth and do what he created us to do.
Amen. So like dominion over sin means kingship, means territory over sin. I don't need to go into sin territory. I have my territory is over that. It's beyond. It's bigger than that. It's more. It's rulership over it. Like I get to rule over those things. That's what dominion means. You know, Pastor Thomas taught us about even being over our domain, kingship over our domain. So I don't have to let sin come into my territory. Basically, if I'm the king of my territory, then I have a job to manage it properly, to guard my heart, to guard my gates so that those things don't penetrate, get in. Because it is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. It starts in the thoughts. You know, even God, thoughts are silent words. So God had a thought and then he spoke and he created. So I can have a thought and then I start to speak. Which way am I speaking? Because the tongue is the rudder. Right? Mm-hmm. So am I going to speak in line with what temptation, sin is starting to talk? You know, I'm letting sin have a place in my mind? Or is it going to be the word of God? What God says about that? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't do that. Like you say, no more bad days. That's a simple declaration. Mm-hmm. It could be over anything, basically. Yep. Something's trying to come at me. No more bad days for me. You know, and you say it enough and you start to believe it.
Start to become it.
And you become it because you're manifesting it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you only become it because you already are it.
That's right. Yes. And you have the ability that's already been done, and then God can manifest what he's already done. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep.
It's true.
Yep. You're just trying to become who Jesus made you on the cross.
Hallelujah.
And shed the blood for you, basically. Yes. That's what he did. And the best part about it really doesn't have that much to do with you. All you got to do is believe what Jesus has done, and Jesus gets all the credit for it.
Uh-huh.
And religion will tell you that you're in pride because you're believing that stuff, but yet religion is trying to make you prideful by thinking you can actually get it by doing enough works to get it. Talk about pride. That's it. You couldn't get saved by doing good works. You can't become righteous by doing good works. You can't become holy by doing good works. Yet they want you to do that to try to be, and as long as you're trying, you feel pretty good. Well, it's not that way. You believe what Jesus did for you and take advantage of what he did on the cross, and that's what it's all about. That's not pride, for gosh sakes. That's humility, if anything, because I'm righteous. What did you do to get righteous? Nothing. I'm humble. He did it, praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, give him the glory.
He anointed me. He blessed me. He made me a pastor. He revealed the kingdom to me. Why did he do all that? Well, that's just what he did. You know, that's just what he did for me. So if you're going to blame me for the way I am, you better blame him, because I had nothing to do with it. Amen. Don't get mad at me for being that way. He made me that way and provided it for me. Now, the question is, in the church, are we going to take advantage of it sooner or later? I mean, we're not taking much advantage of it that I see right now. We're still into the religiosity of everything and the works and the mentality. And the problem is with works, you're always guilty. Because if you're trying to do something or trying to get God to do something and you don't do it, you feel like you're not doing enough and become guilty and you try to do more. Right. And some people can't sit down for 2 minutes without doing something because they're trying to get God to do something, and they figure the more that they do, the more. You know, it's sort of like when Jesus said, if you pray, don't keep repeating the same thing over again.
Yes.
In other words, don't keep doing the same stupid thing over and over again and think it's going to work, because if it didn't work the first 100 times, give up on it and try something else.
Yeah, we have
that
a
actually
saying,
works.
Repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen. And, you know, insecurity is what makes us vulnerable to pride and rebellion. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm in doubt of what God says, it leaves me vulnerable to pride, because then I'll try to prove myself, you know, instead of be who God created me to be. And, you know, we talked about it. We were talking about faith and everything and how faith motivates. I can't work my way into faith. I got to faith my way into works, basically. You know, I want to do it when I believe it. We are what we eat. That's a true statement. So if you're eating and drinking the word, you know, I am what I eat. If I'm eating and drinking the wrong thing on TV, social media. You know what I mean? Like, I have to be very careful. I mean, I don't want to be ignorant to what's going on in the world, but I have to be very diligent about what I allow in me, you know, because there's sometimes, you know, we are called to pray and you know, find out what God wants to do or whatever it is, you know. So he doesn't want us ignorant in that area, but he doesn't want us falling into the traps of what the world, you know. If I start getting angry over things, then I'm in the wrong place. Then I need to shut it down because I'm not supposed to be feeling angry over something that I have no control of over either. I mean, what is that going to do for me? Mm-hmm. No more bad days.
Yeah, we get involved in a lot of things we don't have any control over anyway, basically. Mm-hmm. And we try to control our kids and try to control our spouses and try to control everybody in the world. But it doesn't work that way. The first person I want to be able to take dominion over is myself.
Amen.
My feelings, my emotions, the way that I handle things. Like I say, you get little cliches that basically no more bad days is good. And, you know, anything that the Bible tells you that you can start to think on and meditate on will help you to change. And it'll bring you out of the religiosity to have to do things in order for God to do things. And I'm not saying that prayer is bad. I'm not saying going to church is terrible. I'm not saying, no, we need all those things. But you do not do those things to try to get something from God.
Right.
You do those things because you've already got something from God.
Yes.
In other words, my prayer life changed to, God, what do you want today? What is your will for my ministry? Oh, you want me to write a book. Are you sure? Are you talking to the right person? Please, let somebody else do it. And then finally, you make your decision up to do it, and God will help you do it. Mm-hmm. But most of the time in my life, it's not till I make the decision to do it.
Right.
As long as I'm him-hawing around, God doesn't really get involved.
Right.
God, you show me everything I need to do, every word I need to write, and then I'll write a book. And how many know that doesn't happen until you say, I'm going to write a book. And if you want to really get motivated, say it in front of someone.
Yeah.
Now you've made yourself accountable to do it, because they're going to look at you and say, have you started that yet? Have you done that? And you want to slap them, but it's too late because you've already said it. Oh. And since you've said it now, and God gets involved as soon as you give your yes, because we do have a free will.
Mm-hmm.
We can choose to or not choose to. And when you put that free will out there, God gets involved, basically, and then he'll take over from there and show you how to do it, what to do, and how it works in your life.
Yeah, because he's excited. It pleases him.
Yeah, it was his plan all along.
Yeah, when we line up with his will, it makes him happy. It pleases him. And, you know, one of the things I wrote down here was that we're either an identity crisis or our identity's in Christ.
Mm.
And I did a little teaching on that in Kingdom Recovery. And, you know, and it's really important because that's the truth. Either we're going to be in Christ and know who we are in Christ, or we're going to be in a crisis and always wonder, what am I supposed to do? Who am I? Why am I here? What am I? How did I get here? You know, all those questions, you know, but if we know who he is, and who I am is, you know, when he asks these questions, it's important because then we're a mirror image. We should be image and likeness of our Father, you know, and that gives us the ability to know who we are, our inheritance, you know, what we're entitled to in our position in Christ, mm-hmm. you know, and the plan and the purpose. He supplies all our needs. If you know what God has planned you to do, he's going to supply you with it, and it's going to make it a lot easier. Like you said, once you make the
make the decision,
the leap of faith, I will say it, you know, mm-hmm. praise the Lord. You have anything you want to say, James?
Yeah, the king beguiled, suffers violence, the violent take it by force. Let's get proactive and walk in who we are, as you're saying.
Amen.
Yeah, and when the kingdom of God is preached, it says everyone will press into it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not preaching the kingdom of God, then everybody's not going to press into it because they've got to have the good news, and that is the good news. You know, it's so funny in the natural realm to see people try to get across the southern border to get out of one kingdom country into the United States, and I mean, they'll be arrested, they'll be shot, they'll fake things, they'll do whatever they can to get in here, and yet we can just get freely born into right. the kingdom of God and get all the benefits that are there. And for some reason, we don't appreciate it. We don't even know that we did it. But if you're born again today, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. You're also a son of the living God, but you're also a king in this earth realm. And many of the things that you're spending most of your time whining over and crying about and wondering why God won't do it. You know, there's one scripture in the Bible, I think it's in Ephesians, it says, give the devil no place.
Amen.
You don't know how many times I prayed that God would get the devil out of my life and keep him out.
Right.
And the whole time, it was my responsibility to give him no place in my own life. And I was giving him place and asking God to get him out, for gosh sakes. God said, what are you, confused, or what's the matter with you? So there's so many things in the Bible. Now, I don't want to give the devil any place in my life. So I know that worries from the devil. So I'm not going to give him that place in my mind. I know sickness is no good. It's in my body. I'm going to stand against sickness and disease. I'm going to use my authority against sickness and disease. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand against fear because that's a spiritual attack on me. I'm going to keep that thing out of my life. But it's my responsibility to do those things and use the dominion and authority that he gave me to do it. But once again, it's a choice. You choose whether you want to do it or whether you can do it or not. But I believe many of you out there didn't even know this was possible.
Right.
You know, you're just going on and getting beat up every day and things aren't going very good. It's time to take a stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has already made us Amen. Free by what he did. You're no longer in that kingdom of darkness. You've been rescued out into the kingdom of his own dear son. And there's a lot of inheritance you need to take hold of while yes. you're down here. People say, well, I'll get it when I am in heaven. Yeah, you will, but you don't need it when you're in heaven. You won't need most of the things you have down here when you get there. Because up there, you're not even going to be a king anymore because there's only one king
right.
and you're not going to throw him out.
Back
I guarantee
into
it.
Prince.
So basically you'll be a prince. Yeah. You won't be an authority anymore. Yeah.
Amen. 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 So I'm going to read Ephesians 1:11-12. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So it's in his will, his word of God, the word of God. It's in his will. If you don't know what his plan and purpose is, read his word. And the more you draw into him, the more he reveals himself to you. You can see him clear. It's not like he's revealing himself because you're drawing closer and closer. You get to see clearer and clearer because you get to hear clearer and clearer. That's what that means. When we spend time with God, it means just being in his presence, in his word, you know, not only we should be reading his word, but we can also listen to his word. But the time we spend with him is very, very important and precious. You know, it's like being with a parent who's going to help guide you and lead you and show you the way. You know?
And if you read that scripture a little bit further, it goes up further and it says basically we want the Spirit of God to show us his calling.
Yes.
For years, I prayed for him to show me my calling because I was going to do my calling. Then he's supposed to help me to do my calling.
Right.
But that's not it. It's his calling. Once you find out what his calling and what he has you to do here in the earth realm to extend his kingdom into this earth realm, that's what you're here for with your authority. Basically, then your calling will line up with his calling.
Yes.
But it's not It's not the same way. And someplace in Proverbs, it said that the many plans in the heart of a man, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. That means you can make all the dumb plans you want to make for yourself, but if they're not aligned with God, they're not going to work out anyway till you find out his purpose first, then make your plans according to his purpose. So you're an important person here on this earth realm. God put you here for this day and this hour. Believe me, he doesn't do anything for nothing. He knew this is when he wanted you to be here. He had something for you to do. He was excited about bringing you into existence in this day and this hour. And now you just need to pursue the kingdom of God and pursue the word of God and understand what the ability you have on the inside of you. Because with his spirit and his authority, you can carry out anything that he gives you to do in this earth realm.
Amen. Amen. And this all lines up with what we've been talking about in kingdom recovery as we teach and talk about, you know, kingdom mindset as it pertains to the Bible, our lifestyle, and in the ways we can, you know, renew our mind and be transformed. You know, the first step is being born again, like Pastor's saying. We have to, you know, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior so that we can receive all the benefits and the ability to walk out God's plan and purpose for us. So.
And church is good and all that stuff, but you really need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. That means you can go to every religious place you want. You can do whatever you want. You can do a lot of works, but you got to be born again. And that is a spiritual rebirth that takes place on the inside of you. And when it takes place, there should be a hunger for the word of God there when you're born again. If you don't have a hunger for the word of God, I think I would do it a second time or maybe the third till you really understand that you've been changed on the inside because God has been waiting on you.
Yes, he has.
He's been waiting for each and every one of us to do what we're called to do, to come out of religion and come out of our self-works and to move into the place with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus to fulfill what he put us here to do. And before I leave here, I want to fulfill and get everything done that he's called me to do. I want to finish every darn bit of work of it. And when that time's up, whatever age it is, I'm ready to go. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid to go. But my goodness sakes, I want to fulfill what he put me here to do because I know that pleases him.
Yes.
Just like it pleases him to give us the entire kingdom. And we're not quite doing that. Mm-hmm. We're getting some of it, but that's better not getting any of it.
Amen. Amen. Because he wants to manifest himself through us. So with that, Pastor, do you want to lead us into a prayer of...
of 1 minute, right?
Of 1 minute. This goes by so fast.
Yeah. Hey, I just want you all to know we love you guys. We want the best for you. That's what my heart is, for you to grow up in the things of God, to get excited about the things of God, to serve him and love him and get hungry for the Bible. And I pray right now that the Spirit of God on the inside of you, rise up, Holy Ghost, on the inside. I want you to quicken their mortal body. I want you to move on the inside of them. Bring back that hunger that basically was inside of them maybe at their first love, and maybe it's gone by the wayside because they've been in religion now and they're just tired of this whole Christianity stuff and ready to backslide. You don't have to do that. You can go forward, but you do that by understanding who you are, by letting the Spirit of God explain to you and show you the many things that God has done for you. He truly is a good God.
Yes.
You've said that your whole life, but he is, and you find that out as you find your destination. And we love you. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Shalom, shalom. What you got for you?
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. Something, but I've got all I want when
when it comes to loving you. You're my only reason. You're my only truth. I need you like wine.